But in a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
There's nothing like having your own cowboy theme song, but today I'm kind of a sad cowboy, Pat Brady.
Yes, sir.
Jeff Carlin.
Hello.
And I got to come out with this right away. When you do something wrong, you admit it publicly and quickly, because I know I cover politicians who never do it when they screw up, and it gets worse. And the issue here is that I had an apology published in the newspaper this week, an error of judgment on my part for becoming involved in a documentary of Michael Madigan, the Khan of Madiganistan, and it's being produced in part by the Illinois Policy Institute. That was not right for me to do. Not that the I have no complaints with the Policy Institute. Everyone was upfront about, if you asked, they were upfront about, you know, who was behind it. I thought since I had given my opinion on Madigan for years, even back when Pat Brady was running the Republican Party before Rauner.
That was the origin of Madiganistan,
right.
I remember.
Yeah, because you started it with Madigan.
Marker. Yeah, I called you. What happened was his kid got a job at Metro, so
right,
son-in-law.
Right.
And my quote to the reporter, might have been you, was, we all work for the Madigans. Why don't we just call it Madiganville?
Right.
And then you, being who you are and smarter than me, picked up on it. Go, no, it's Madiganistan. And then you went off on this tirade.
With the con and the, the windswept wasteland, economic wasteland. All right.
Can we tell the if when you get done, we talk about the fake fundraiser at some point?
Yes, after I quit beating my breast and pulling my hair out.
All
okay.
Right.
So anyway, I wrote this apology. I put it on Facebook. I have no complaint again with the Illinois Policy Institute. To me, they've always been a noble group, fighting the fight against Madigan, and I understand their point of view. What was wrong was to do it, to do the documentary, knowing that they were behind it, because it allows people to question the independence of the paper and my independence. And I'll tell you, and I have my witnesses here, although I didn't know you were going to be here today, that I've been writing about Madigan long before the Illinois Policy Institute knew who Bruce Rauner was. But it was wrong. So anyone have to say anything? Bring it. Let's hear it. Okay, crickets, huh? You guys, what? I can take it. Was I right? Was I wrong?
I think it's amazing that you come out and say it. You know, say, hey, yeah, maybe it was something I didn't think through, or thought that, you know, from my angle it looked all right. And like you said, that no politician, people who run this world, would never take the moment to do that. And it's unfortunate that someone who fights for what's right, fights for, or at least covers, you know, as a profession.
Fights for good ribs and chicken.
That too.
Right.
Beer can chicken. You're doing it because that's your character.
If you listen to your editors, see, editors are there to help you. And if I just told them, hey, you know, I'm going to do this, somebody, another adult in the room, not me, the kid, Opie, going off with my slingshot to shoot the robin in the eye. That's another
episode.
TV. Yeah, right. Fly, little bird, fly. That actually happened to me in real life.
You killed the robin?
It was on Mozart, 52nd of Mozart. Anyway, it's a long story. People accused me of stealing that episode when it happened. Anyway, if I had just gone to them and said, hey, you know, I'm thinking about doing this, some adult in the room might have said, you know, it might not be a good idea. That said, I'm still looking forward to seeing the documentary. I'm sure they got publicity out of it, and now we'll see.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of talk about this in the last couple of days. you know, I get it. I'm not a journalist like you are, and I'm not quite see if I get what you're saying about people making the appearance of impropriety, which to me is as important as impropriety. Yeah. So glad you did what you did. It's important that we have papers like the Tribune and you writing things because we're slowly losing the good reporting and editorializing.
Well, there's nothing like a crab sandwich on toast eaten in the public in front of millions of people.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just have to bite it.
I'm still living down my prediction I made 4,000 times on WGN Radio that Donald Trump would not be the nominee.
Don't even bring up predictions. I've predicted that Hillary can't win because she's the establishment candidate. Now we're getting to the debates. Okay, so we could drop the hair pulling and so forth. Now we're at the debates. The debates are coming. We got a lot going on. First, debates. Yeah, gentlemen, say you, Pat Brady. What? What do you have to say?
Going to be interesting. I think this will probably be the most watched event since the lunar landing. It's going to be huge.
Right.
And I've read so many articles on either candidate's approach to the debate that it'll be interesting to see what, and I think it's all focused on Hillary Clinton because Trump's bar is so low. If he gets up and doesn't stab her, he wins. But what is Hillary going to do? Is she going to come out and try to pin his ears back? Is she going to let him screw up? Is she going to be that methodical debater that she was with Obama? Is she going to fight back? I don't know.
She was rather wooden with Obama, was she not?
You know what? I watched every one of those debates, and I was pulling for Obama because he was the Illinois guy in the Democrat side, although I was obviously with McCain.
Wait, let me mark that tape on that.
No. I watched
just kidding.
Oh.
Pat Brady rooting for...
No, in the Democratic primary.
I know.
I'd really have an Illinois...
You thought it was easier to whip
just the audio. Yeah.
I'd really have a real Illinois guy, not one that goes to New York and puts on a Yankees hat.
A lifelong Yankees fan, she said.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Park Ridge.
Yeah, exactly.
Turn around, little house, turn around.
Yeah, at least she knew some players, though.
Uh-huh.
Better than the president.
Yeah, Kaminsky Field.
Kaminsky Field.
Oh, right.
Where he tried to pronounce Lollapalooza.
Yeah,
it didn't go well either. But the point is, I thought that she beat him handily in 2008 in the debates, although CNN wouldn't let you think that. So I watched all the primary debates, but I don't know what you're going to do with Trump. There's no rules.
Well, I have a feeling that she will take him into the deep waters of policy, like some wise man said this week, and drown him like a raccoon on a hunting dog. Just grab his nose and hang on. He'll be the waterlogged Cheeto at the, what did I say?
Waterlogged Cheeto at the bottom of the river?
Or at the banks, bobbing
right
up against the stumps.
Last week we talked about their health. I always thought he needed a laxative or something because he always does look a little waterlogged.
She will dispense one to him.
But, okay, so let's play that out. If she does that, if she goes deep in the weeds on policy with a guy that will just talk in sound bites, won't follow the rules, the goal is to win people over, the 20% that are undecided. I mean, is she going to do it with policy? I don't know. I just don't know.
I think it's going to be a battle of who can seem more presidential, the idealistic thought of what the president should be. And the policy stuff, because I don't think the people who follow the policy and understand what's going on or where the country might need to go, I don't think those are people that are undecided right now. They know.
You don't know where Aleppo is?
Right.
That's how the journalists will.
Right.
You don't know Aleppo? Like they ever been there?
The people that.
Gary's had a tough week.
Oh, God. But, hey, right. Speaking of a guy who screwed up on the Aleppo thing and came out right away and was like, hey, I'm a guy.
Yeah.
I know what Syria is. I screwed up. I flaked out on it. So sue me. You know, it happened.
But so did the governor of Texas, right? Rick Perry. And he had a meltdown where he couldn't, remember.
The three departments.
The department that he wanted to get rid of.
Right.
And that's too bad. I felt sorry for him. But, that's.
Oh, for sure. But I'm just saying, quality character. I mean, I like seeing that, especially when our flaming Cheeto is talking about.
Well, we all watched all the Republican 8,000 primary debates, and nobody pinned his ears back. Nobody went toe-to-toe with him in the quip back and forth. And if she can do that without coming across, it's unfair, as witchy, then I think she wins big time.
Kind of like the the Ice Queen, I'd rather say, Chronicles of Narnia, she hands Edmund the plate of Turkish delights and then corrupts him.
I think it would be if you
family?
Were smart as she is, and I think she is smart for whatever like or dislike.
Yale trained lawyer.
Well, big
she
deal.
Was on the Watergate committee before she got fired. For lying.
I remember it when I was at the Justice Department, state school guy, and I'd sit around with all the Harvard guys. We had another name for it. I'd go, hey, I got the same job you did.
But, Did she get fired for something?
Got caught.
Yeah. Oh.
But wouldn't it be great if she, when this is what we said months ago, I'm not sure if she's capable of doing the delivery of policy with enough of an edge to make it interesting and pin him back where he's just like, yeah.
And she's got some vulnerabilities too, right, Jeff Garland? I mean, she can, you could bring up her great policy successes.
Benghazi.
Not only Benghazi, just Libya in general.
Yeah, I know.
Libya in general.
Libya's never been debated.
You know, I mean, like, look, they wanted, Gaddafi wanted to make a deal. He was making a deal. We had our intelligence in Libya, which gave us all of the top of North Africa as an intelligence view, right? And what did Obama and Hillary do? They just, you know what, canned it, okay? So we're blind there in North Africa. Somalia's right there below it. It's bad. Bad news.
He's got the momentum going into this because I haven't seen her do anything that was like, oh, okay, well, yeah, she's on top here. And there's another piece that's exactly right.
Excuse me, Mr. Trump.
How much water? There should be an over under how much water she goes through, how many times she drinks.
Yeah.
But there's a story out there now,
Mucilix or whatever,
that the guy who got her set up on her server.
He took the fifth, right? He's hiding, right?
Well, they gave him immunity. So he is working, but there's a story out that on Reddit, which I don't know if you guys are familiar with Reddit.
Yeah, we're over 20, but we still know it.
Yeah, well, so on Reddit, there are threads from 2014 where somebody under a name that is a badge name that is attached to his email and attached to his other accounts,
mm-hmm.
was looking for advice on how to hide or erase email addresses from a server for a VVVVIP. This just happening over the last 24 hours that someone found this on Reddit and was like, hey, this guy was here looking for this stuff, looking how to do this stuff. She's not going to get away from this stuff.
The story will not go away, Pat Brady, former prosecutor.
Yeah, but nobody cares unless she's indicted. It's a story, and I get it. We all know why she put the server in there, because she wanted to hide it, because they're doing the foundation stuff.
But her numbers keep going down every time the email stuff pops up, and he rides that out. And I think
he's still, though, I mean, I get it, but he's had...
He hates Trump.
I hate Trump. I can't.
I know.
Just admit.
No, I do. I will say,
you admit it.
I hate Trump. He's a guy that was for universal health, single-payer healthcare, excuse me. He's not a Republican. I can't stand him. But she's still leading right now, believe it or not. As bad a candidate as she is,
sure. Every time that stuff comes out, though, and then the health stuff, he creeps up. And I think that if he can, like you said, stick to his talking points and box her in and force her to go on the attack, I think he's going to come out on top. And just the image, not necessarily in substance of policy.
They're both good at sitting across the table from somebody and exerting their will. That's what they do for a living. Trump actually is successful at it. Hillary has not been successful at it. Whether, you know, who knows how it's going to be.
She's not good out front.
Look, you know, the argument from the anti-Trumpers, like not you, but others, has been, terrible candidate, Trump, terrible candidate, right? But look at her. What do the Democrats do? They put this person, this loathsome liar. I mean, no offense to all you Hillaryistas out there, but come on. She's a liar, and she's got a history of it.
The thing is, he's not, too. All that, but she's not even a good retail liar. Empathetic. But even as a candidate, when she gives her speeches, you just want it. And people, oh, it's sexist. No, it's not. I listened to her speeches. I go, they're just not compelling. There's like, nothing there. It's interesting.
I remember when Bill got caught with the girl. I forgot.
Jennifer?
I don't know. Maybe it was that devil in the blue dress or something.
Monique.
And they went to church that day. Because, they go to church on Sunday, right?
You're president. Impeached, yeah.
And he stuck a Bible as he was leaving, and all the press were chasing him. I think I called you about this or somebody. And he stuck the Bible out the limousine window.
Jeez.
Right? Like warding off the journalist. Stuck it out like, hey, I'm reading the Bible. Hey, how y'all doing? Going to a meeting here.
Really?
And I thought, just that act alone, you can get away with that? But he did. Now, she can't.
No.
She can't get away with that.
Remember when he wore the tie that Monica gave him the day that Monica was going to talk to Ken Starr?
My little
honey bunny.
I really
love you.
I love you.
Remember this tie?
I can't quit you, Monica. Can't quit you. And then the other part of the debate we have to, what are the debate mistakes? Let's remember.
Rick Lazio debating Hillary in the New York Senate race where he invaded her space. And Rick Lazio's a nice guy.
And he went up to her
he
like,
went up to her like, hey, look at this.
She played the misogyny thing?
Exactly. She played the victim.
Gender, right?
Yeah. And Lazio, who was a very kind of really a low-key guy,
yeah.
And it was over.
So no gendering, no invading her space, because that's how it'll be. I mean, the anchors, the moderators have already been primed by the New York Times that if they don't kick his ass, they're going to have hell to pay.
You know,
like Matt Lauer.
I was thinking too, though, she's going to have a flexible strategy based, both of them are based on what the moderator does. If the moderator's hitting him, she doesn't have to, then she can follow up. But if he's not, she's going to have to.
I think she'll play the raccoon in the water, leading that hound dog, just like in Twilight Zone.
Lester Holt, Chicago guy.
Lester Holt. I'm not saying Lester Holt's
no,
the hound.
No. I'm saying it, the
Trump
moderator.
Is. Yeah, Lester Holt, Chicago guy.
I don't think she is equipped to pull that off. Like you might be, or some other smart aleck Irish guy might be, where she could actually, yeah, that's not going
to
work.
Now, what are we referring to when we sigh, Mr. Brady?
Al Gore.
What? That was the scariest. That was like watching a Star Trek of the Janice Lester episode.
The lockbox.
If anyone remembers that. What?
The lockbox.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What was that? He kept sighing like I don't have daughters. You do, right?
I had three. Yeah.
Was that like in the eighth grade years, like the terrible eighth grade years?
Yeah.
Where you can't, your dads want to pull their hair out? Is that it?
Yeah, I don't know.
hang on.
Wait, you got it?
I think I got it.
Wait. You know what kills me too is at that level, you're debating, this is not a city council race downstate or somewhere. Mm-hmm. This is a presidency for the United States.
King of the world.
King of the world. And you're doing didn't somebody say, oh, that's probably not a good idea? Or somebody with the break, go cut that out.
The priorities are just very different. I'll give you a couple of examples. For every new dollar that I propose
October
for spending
30,
on health care, Governor Bush spends $3 for a tax cut for the wealthiest 1%. Now, for every dollar that I propose to spend on education, he spends $5 on a tax cut for the wealthiest 1%. Those are very clear differences.
Governor, man's practicing fuzzy math again. There's differences.
That's him. That's not me. That's Gore.
Yep.
Oh, my. See, that? I think that kind of thing cost you. No?
Well, yeah, it did cost him.
It's like,
he still won the majority.
He still won
the popular vote. But.
And that's why it's great to see the left now relying on the Constitution as written and the Electoral College to save them from the uprising of the deplorables, let's say, right?
I'm glad you brought that up because we didn't discuss this on the other shows. Who uses that word, deplorable? Deplorable, except somebody that's drinking wine, eating cheese in the Hamptons for the last two. Deplorable. That was a deplorable shot you hit there, John. Just deplorable. Who uses that word?
Rather deplorable.
Have you ever used it? I've never used it.
No, I've never used, and I've never used a basket of deplorables. Because that's kind of even weirder.
No, that's wine and cheese in the Hamptons
right,
with your buddies.
Right.
Sitting there, oh, it's a basket of, they're a basket of deplorable.
And not good American cheese either with the cellophane rip off.
It's the French stuff. The stuff
know?
They kind of grated.
Yeah.
It's the stuff with that like leathery skin that you don't know if you're supposed to eat it or not.
Don't
right?
eat that. Yeah, don't,
you're not supposed to eat
I
it?
I don't think so, no.
On the brie, on the triple cream?
Well, yeah, maybe on the brie, but like a brie you buy here, but like a real brie.
I cut out.
The very outer edge, I don't think you're supposed to eat
it. I eat it. It's good.
I eat it.
Oh, yeah. Hey,
puts hair in your chest.
It's good.
Shave it, I guess, maybe.
We don't shave.
But
we're not Brad Pitt around here.
Have you ever written that in one of your columns, the word deplorable?
I don't talk like that, so I don't.
Does anybody talk like that?
No. See, that's the point. And then the laughter afterward.
The cackle.
With the tittering and the can I use tittering in that context, Jeff? But that's what it was. And that's what drives guys crazy who are the guys I know who are going to go for. That's like, okay, I'm going for Trump now. That's what people were saying.
Yeah,
after they heard the laughter.
Okay, I know your hood, so I'm going to ask you this. I think there's another theory out there that helps Trump actually as much as I hate him. It's the she will kill me theory. That any guy in your neighborhood or mine that actually admits to his wife he's voting for Trump, she will kill me. So that when these pollsters call or anybody talks, we're not talking about who we're voting for.
I think that applies to women too.
I think that too. I mean, I think you're both right on that because I know, especially people more closer to my age. Hillary, I'm going to vote for Hillary. It's a woman. I got to vote for Hillary. But then you peel back a little bit and they're like, well, I don't want to vote for Trump. Maybe I'll vote for Jill Stein because she's a woman. And that's going to hurt Hillary. But these are people who are polling and say, "Oh, I'm pro Hillary, I'm pro Hillary." On Facebook, on Twitter, wherever they're rah rah for. But when it comes down to it, I think they're going to go in there and pull for Jill Stein.
Oh, I lie to pollsters all the time.
I don't even talk to them.
I talk to my wife.
I get like internet stuff like from journalism schools, and they're like, "We would like you to engage in a anonymous survey about your political."
You get
and I'm
those?
Thinking, really?
Yeah.
Really? I'm really going to put down my anonymous stuff.
What's the point of anonymous? You're supposed to bump that up against
I don't know. Why
demographics.
Don't you read the damn column and file your gosh darn report, you deplorables.
Basket.
Deplorable baskets. All right. So no whining. He can't stay in her space. If he beats up on her, is she going to play the woman thing? Can they? She still do that when she's the same personality who would cut Putin's heart out with a butter knife and eat it, like Khaleesi eating the stallion heart in one of those episodes?
You know, the more I've been thinking about this for weeks, and I don't even know what the good strategy would be other than maybe just answer it with not too much wonky policy stuff, but just roll your eyes and go, come on, that's not the way
there'll
it
be
works.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Something that they need, the journalists need a hook, right, Pat?
Yes.
They'll need something like, that's my microphone. I'm not going to hold his inexperience against
you
him.
Thanks. I will not, for political gain, use my opponent's youth and inexperience.
He was 70. Wandale was 65.
Other than Lloyd Benson absolutely pimp slapping Dan Quayle, I knew Jack Kennedy. That was the longest.
Cheap. That was cheap.
He walked into it, though.
I know he did, but that was so. That's from a guy who has like 20 million acres in Texas, who has his campesinos come out for the party where he lets them eat meat.
Okay, we're referring
once
to
a year.
The VP debate in '88. This
that
is
was terrible. Yeah.
But I read later, and since I read it in the paper, it's accurate, that he was advised not to bring up the JFK comparisons, and he did it anyway.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that was, just like McCain's choice of Sarah Palin.
That didn't work out?
Didn't work out.
She couldn't handle an interview with Katie Couric.
I did see Sarah Palin and Alec Baldwin on some game show the other night.
Oh, Jeff? Yeah.
It kind of scared me. It's like,
He hosts it, right? It's like celebrity.
It's where celebrities go to die with
Alec
Baldwin.
It's awful.
It's accomplishments. It's experience. I have far more experience than many others that sought the office of vice president of this country. I have as much experience in the Congress as Jack Kennedy did when he sought the presidency. I will be prepared to deal with the people in the Bush administration if that unfortunate event would ever occur.
Senator Benson.
Senator, I served with Jack Kennedy. I knew Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy.
Speaking of celebrities, who gives a rat's orifice about Brad Pitt and what's a girl with the lips, the skinny girl?
Oh, Angelina Jolie. Yeah. Her, whose father's a big Republican.
Yeah, he is. She's not.
Midnight Cowboy.
You're so bad.
I don't care.
No. I don't care, right?
No.
Are we supposed to care? Do you care, Jeff?
I absolutely do not care. But everybody talks about it.
Why do we talk about crap like that?
We talk about it for the same reason someone like Donald Trump is going to be our next president. Because it's celebrity. They're larger than life. They do better things than all of us. And we think that they're amazing. But they don't.
Brad Pitt's dumber than I am. I saw him.
Oh, absolutely.
He was just like...
Ryan Lochte and he are on like the same level.
Like sixth grade?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Is he dumber than you?
That's hard to do. Yeah, that's pretty low.
Listen, I remember when he played, there was a movie called Troy.
Yeah.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
He got all buffed up.
And he got buffed up, hairless as he was. And he was, the whole
like a true thing, Trojan, right?
Like a true, no, Greek, right? Like you ever see a hairless Greek? Never.
Right.
And then he played Achilles. Brad Pitt playing Achilles? You want to, I know that we're not supposed to read the classics now. So
I mean,
many people under 70 won't know what I just said.
Is that the guy with the bad heel?
Sitting up on the porch here with the crafty. You are the craftiest prosecutor with your colloquialisms, even as you're coming in for the kill. I can just imagine him.
Hey, I am a hillbilly.
I'll do the Peter Falk. What? Something else, isn't he?
Yeah. Ask my sixth grade teacher. She'll tell you where I am.
I know
was she
Achilles.
Hot?
Oh, geez.
Sister Margaret Savoy.
No. Okay.
John, explain it to me though, because I mean, I know the story of Achilles. I don't understand why Brad Pitt's not situated to be Achilles. Like why?
Because Achilles was a warrior killer.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Certified badass.
Yeah, but not a badass like a slap puncher like in the Fight Club. Okay.
I'm talking about
a real badass. You know, and that just makes me laugh.
Ah, I got you.
You want to have the other guy who played in Black Hawk Down? He was Hector. What's his name? Not Branagh. No, he's a Shakespearean actor.
No, Eric Bana.
Eric Bana.
Yeah.
That was more of Achilles.
When he was, and he was the other role. He played Achilles.
All right. Here's another movie you won't see. Neither three of us, and I hope it. And anybody listening to this podcast sees this movie. I swear to God, I'll find you, and I'll find you, and run you down. The baby's floating in the boat at the lighthouse.
Oh God!
Wait a minute. You know this one?
Yeah.
So the mother and father, they have a baby.
Last movie I went to in the theater was Jerry Maguire.
Show me the money. And that was
97.
Speaking of an acting job, okay? Speaking of an acting job, all-pro wide receiver. Yeah,
yeah.
So anyway, the baby's in they lose their baby. Baby dies. Then they look out the lighthouse window where they live in a romantic lighthouse life, and they see a baby.
What?
In a rowboat floating as if it's a gift to them. So they take the baby and raise it. Then they find out that baby's mother is... looking.
The light between oceans.
Can I just throw up right now?
Yeah.
How much medical marijuana did they smoke when they wrote that?
And you know what? People are watching this thing. Yeah. Like people want to cry. I think they want to cry.
Call it the notebook effect.
I can't believe you even cited the notebook. Your guy card is yanked.
No way.
Absolutely. Your guy card is pulled for a week.
What about Notting Hill? Notting Hill's even better.
Listen, these are all violations of the guy code.
Listen.
You can even cite those.
So I can't say, I cannot say.
Richard Jones.
I cannot quote from, I'm just a girl standing in front of a boy asking him to love her. I can't even say that. Jeff, get up off the floor.
Oh,
you
boy.
Can if you want, but I'm not going to the bar with you.
Depends. Depends what bar. I don't know. I like holding that Infinity in the Xfinity
remote
and saying rom-com.
You spin the wheel of what? Oh, boy.
Come on, man. They're good. She likes them.
Sure.
Then I can go play Call of Duty for 2 hours and no one bothers me.
Yeah.
Is that crazy?
I'm in the same boat.
My relatively inexperienced heart would, I fear, not recover if I was once again cast aside, as I would absolutely expect to be. There are just too many pictures of you, too many films. You know, you'd go and I'd be, well, buggered, basically.
That really is real now, isn't it?
I live in Notting Hill. You live in Beverly Hills. Everyone in the world knows who you are. My mother has trouble remembering my name.
Fine. Fine. Good decision. Good decision. The fame thing isn't really real, you know. And don't forget, I'm also just a girl standing in front of a boy, asking him to love her.
Steve String Guitar Chimes Synthetic Percussion.
Baby girl, I wanna show you how much I really love you.
How much I really love you.
Baby girl,
that's what I call you, to show you that my love for you is true.
Baby girl, my love is so great that I wrote you this song.
And to show you how much I really care, sounds like
every other one. The beat kicks in and then I sing a bit more rhythmically. To make it sensual, I sing it in a minor key.
I move my hands like I'm pushing someone
get
in front of me
way.
Now that's the first verse, and now I'm gonna take it to the bridge. I say something about how I don't wanna break up. Then I turn around and rhyme it with makeup. I tell you that we should be together.
How long?
Forever.
That long.
And ever.
So long.
Girl, you're always in my heart.
In my heart.
And I never wanna be apart.
Never be apart.
Honey, you'll always be mine.
Baby, be mine.
Baby girl, it's chorus time.
This is how you write a love song. Yeah, this is how you write a cliche love song.
This is how you write a love song.
Yeah, a shitty daddy's R&B love song.
This is my backup and he sings quite breathily. He takes the words I say and sings them after me.
Sings them after me.
He emphasizes words and sings emphatically.
I sing emphatically.
Now listen to us singing a cappella harmony.
Now we're back at the bridge. I haven't written anything for this. So I'm gonna stretch out the words, repeating everything I say. Till I get,
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 yeah, till I get back to the chorus.
This is how you write a love song.
Yeah, a shitty, 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 shitty love song.
And to show you I can, I throw my hands in the air. Now cut the music while I sing along. No.
Let's move on, because I got to ask you guys something. 3,000 homicides in Chicago, more than 500 murders. I just finished a column, it should be up in a few minutes today. The mayor is going to make probably the biggest speech of his political.
I saw him this morning. Is this about 900 more officers?
That's kind of budget magic, right?
Right.
But what he's really going to do, and this will be
setting
part,
the table there, right?
Right, and this will be part of the larger complaint against him or support for him, is he's going to take on the issue of single family black families, single parent black families in the districts where most of the shooting is taking place, where most of the violence comes from these kids that, you know, I know you're not supposed to say they're wild, but there's something going on.
Did you see today
that
12-year-old was doing pickups?
About that 15-year-old burned, thrown in the
garage,
in the wastebasket and in the garbage can and burned to death.
Here's the thing, though, when you say that, if that's going to be the speech, I'm all for anything that works. But don't you think before we get into the longer term problems, which we pretty much know what they are,
right.
maybe he's identified the right problem, that we should shut it all down first and let people actually have a place to live?
Words cannot protect you.
Right. We got to shut it down.
You
shut the expressways down. You shut it down.
What do you mean? You sound like Trump now.
Get the civil libertarians in the room and say, we're going to do this until we stop it. Get everybody that would scream at you for doing it, say, we're not going to violate anybody's rights, but we're shutting this down. Shut the expressways down. Shut everything down. And I bet you're going to have 4 million grandmothers that live there that are taking care of their kids, thinking you're the greatest thing in the world. And then you can deal with
it. What do you mean, like shut down Heroin Highway?
Just shut it down. Shut it down. Shut down.
Quarantine these neighborhoods?
There's five districts.
Okay,
right.
That's the truth of it, right? Mm-hmm. It's not all over the city. It's not in Jefferson Park. It's not in Mount Greenwood. Five districts, South Side and West Side, where all the killings taken.
Yep.
Where these babies are getting assassinated, you know, not just randomly shot on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what do you do? National Guard? Rounder doesn't want that.
No, and I get it, because I understand that he doesn't want to own the problem. It's the mayor's problem, but I just would like to see something very aggressive. And I know there's a lot of problems with that, and I'm a Constitution guy. I don't want to violate anybody's rights, but you got to shut it down. And because it's not getting better, and talking about things that are going to affect them 10 years, affect the neighborhoods 10 years from now, if that's the problem, great, but I don't think that's short term.
I think the first thing that has to go is the ACLU contact card, the deal where the police have the right to, like, read, you know, long report over everyone that they, on everyone that they, they've got to be able to have their instincts playing out where you can grab some guys in the corner and say, bye.
But did you see? Did you see the? I have to pull it up, but it's a story, and I think it's out of Pennsylvania, or maybe it was Maryland. But a judge ruled that an officer does not have the right to stop and chase somebody if they run from them. That if someone wants to run from a cop, the cop cannot take that as suspicion or use that against them.
Really, unless that judge's wife has her purse stolen or she gets clubbed and the thug is running away, then he'll want that done. He will be on the phone to his counterpart, whoever party he's in his state, correct, Pat Brady?
I'd say.
And he'll be on the phone with Democrat chairman or Republican. I want that state police, right?
I was standing on Dearborn one day, just south of the Thompson Center, and I saw this kid running out with his hooded jacket on. He ripped something off from the Thompson Center, and there's this copper, he's probably a 50-year-old Irish guy,
chugging.
Chases him down and catches him, and with one hand, left hand, grabs the hood and puts his face in a snowbank. What's the best takedown I've ever seen?
Nice.
Can't do that. Well, judges are free to do that, but then the appellate courts are free to turn it around. And I agree that the police, they're in such a bad spot right now.
It is bad, and they have, and unfortunately, the history of bad actors, you know. And then you got the other issue, which is this: he needs to move sergeants out on the street. Problem is, the politics has been over the last 30, 50 years, not everybody who was the best sergeant candidate was nominated for sergeant, pushed for, right?
Right.
It was all based on your politics, your committeemen, et cetera. So
test scores.
Then they went to test scores.
Yeah.
And who did well? Who does well in the tests? Let's put it this way. I grew up on the Southwest side. I know the Macaulay girls. This is like the mother Macaulay girls will do great on tests because they are great test takers.
They're either Sheila, Mary, or Colleen, right?
Bridget. Come on, man.
I went to weddings every Saturday with one of the four.
But do they make the best sergeants of tough guys out in the street, real police? It's not a sexual. I'm not talking about gender.
No, yeah.
I'm talking about approach. So I don't know. So he's stuck there, too. There's a lot that
to me, it appears there's a lot of things and a lot of solutions. And maybe this is naive and I don't want to sound like Trump, but to me, there needs to be a short term, very radical, aggressive play here to stop it and shut it down. And I don't see anybody talking like that. But
like what? Like
just block it off.
Cordon off the five districts.
Block them off and just do it like you did at the convention or
and then sweep through
and just get the ACLU on board and say, we're not invited. You can come here and watch, but we got to shut this down. Babies are getting, it's just so bad.
Yeah,
it's bad for the city.
I mean, look at it like this, too. Since 2001, more people have died in the streets of Chicago than have died in Iraq.
Although the number of homicides, and John, correct me if I'm wrong on this. I remember when I started in the state starting in 87, the homicides were closer to 800 or 900, weren't they?
Homicides were at 940, I think, in the mid-90s. The difference is shootings.
The number, yeah.
Got shot, chances are you were going to die. Now, 3,000 shootings, only 500-plus homicides, and that's not the year's not over yet. And that means violence is even higher than it was then because of a variety of factors. Gang hierarchies are gone, et cetera. But two things are happening. The dope is still coming up from Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
It's going.
Is it coming up 55, or how's it getting here?
It's either on the roads, right, through trucking, NAFTA.
Yeah.
Thank you, NAFTA. Or it's coming, and then the money.
Well, stop the trucks and put the dogs out there.
And then the money is stacking up in the bungalows near Midway Airport or O'Hare. I mean, like, where you have to weigh it.
Yeah.
And somehow that gets on planes to fly back to Mexico. So that's happening. And why are people killing each other? Because of social media alone? No.
Yeah.
Come on.
You know, all the years I did that, the street crimes, and which is only three, but I never saw an offense that was not in some way touched by drugs. They were high, they were looking for money, it's always, drugs are the root cause of every crime.
Tony Preckwinkle's, saying it's a public health problem. What is she going to do? Like raise a pop tax so she can have more like tongue depressors, give cops tongue depressors, check the tonsils? What? Is it a public health problem? I mean,
yeah,
what kind of a wimpy thing is that?
Yeah.
She's worried about her budget.
I think that was a poorly executed publicity stunt. I mean,
there was this
quasi study that came out that said, oh, look, you know, if you want to compare traffic accidents to gun incidents, you know, and we're putting all this money towards traffic accidents, why don't we do this with gun incidents, you know, get money for the health from the health services? But if you look at it, the number of people who are killed in this country by cars exceeds the people who are shot by threefold. So it's not even near the same problem. So why would it take the same reference? I get it. People are getting shot. It's an incident where you're trying to hurt somebody versus a car, which is an accident. But the numbers don't match up. And so for her to go out and do that, it was a fool's errand to begin with. But I actually want to make my point, though, because the thing about Iraq and Afghanistan, our military went house to house searching for bad guys to try to put an end to what was happening in Iraq and Afghanistan. I mean, that was our goal, was to weed out the bad guys, essentially.
Mm-hmm. We hit Fallujah,
right.
And then we gave it away.
Right. We could do that here. They could go house to house and take every gun off the street, but the civil liberty would be trampled, and it would never happen. But Pat's right. If something like that happened, you could catch somebody to say, I'll take the political bullet for this if we do this, no pun intended, and it'll solve a problem.
I'll tell you something. If 50 people got shot in Wilmette tomorrow, you'd see it in Wilmette. Okay, right?
My God, there'd be busting doors down and no one would complain.
Right.
Go ahead.
Right. Now,
that's what I think the community, and maybe I'm wrong this, I don't live out there and I'm sure I completely understand it.
That's the whole don't go there thing. I don't buy that. You know, we're all connected. We're all human.
No, I know, but I don't want to speak out and say something that's stupid or way out of line. But I do believe there are great people in that community that want to have a normal life and raise their families and can't because these idiots are running around shooting people. So they are entitled to protection.
One of the political issues that are going to be debated over the next few weeks on this is the use of the mayor's use of the Becoming a Man program. He's going to find millions of dollars to fund it, to subsidize.
Can you and I take it?
No, he's going to be to subsidize the mentoring of at-risk youth in the city. It'll be almost like mandatory.
You know,
point is, I want to ask you as a political issue. Point is, number one, he's already being warned, don't go there by black voices. Like, you have no business talking about black family. You're Jewish guy from Wilmette. Number two, which I think black elected officials are concerned of, if he's going to rehabilitate himself, isn't BAM, with millions of dollars in funding, reaching the neighborhoods under Rahm's imprimatur, won't that give him kind of net that he needs to rehabilitate his political
And that's
image?
What Quinn did with the member of the anti-violence program, and right before the election, you dole out a bunch of millions of dollars, it's never accounted for, and then you go back. That's exactly how it works. And I do agree, I think a better messenger for the Become a Man program is the president, who actually has set a great example.
Where is he?
I know. They're out now on the Legacy Tour, and I get whether I agree or disagree with that. The guy's a great father and has a
Where's
great marriage.
Where's the president? Where's Hillary Clinton?
I agree.
This is a crisis in the urban cities where if there aren't black votes, there's no Democratic
She's about
party.
As urban as I am.
Well, yeah.
She's too. Park Ridge.
But still, aren't you, if you're a Democrat, I mean, I'm not trying to invite Trump here. It would be a circus. But if they were trying to, I was on Fox the other day and they were saying, do you think Trump, you know, Jenna? I was like, no, Jenna, I don't know what to say. But you have, where's Obama? Obama should be in the city, not golfing, not worried about like whether he's going to be the next Uthant, even though he has a great Uthant haircut. Like I can see him as the Secretary General of the United Nations.
Well, he gave a good speech to the Congressional Black Caucus the other day. It was a very passionate speech about his legacy, and you can't let Hillary not win. You need
that
to get
was
up.
Weird, wasn't it?
It was weird, but what is the legacy of his work in the communities where he came from?
Maybe we could ask Professor, what's his name?
Cornel West.
Cornel West, right? And all those guys, and Tavis Smiley, they've been ripping on him for not doing it.
Yeah, I think that's pretty a fair criticism. But, you know, as a Republican, what have we done? Nothing. Really haven't done much. Kemp was the last guy. Actually, Paul Ryan's talking about it now. So that's hopefully.
Jack Kemp, and I have to say, my candidate, the one I wanted, Rand Paul, came to Chicago to talk about it because there is an opportunity. There's always been an opportunity for Republicans to talk about opportunity. That's what people need.
Yep.
They need hope. They don't have it. And all this keep hope alive is just rhetoric and shot. Anyway. Okay, so I apologize. We learned about what movies not to watch and Bridget Jones. I'm not watching.
I'm pulling Carlin's guy card for 1 week. It's in my pocket because he's decided The Notebook.
In college, that movie, that DVD served me well.
It's like getting a puppy. Hey, you want to come over and watch your notebook? Give me some cheap wine.
Here's how old.
I know that's for big. I went to college too.
Here's how old Brady and I are. We used to use James Taylor albums or Leonard Cohen. If you had like the socialist
patches
girlfriend from
sleeves.
University of Wisconsin at Madison, you put Leonard Cohen on and bingo, you're in heaven.
A little bit. Instance.
Don't listen to that, boys, my sons. For Pat Brady, Jeff Carlin, John Cass. It's been another edition of the Chicago Way. Talk to you soon.